Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Many people struggle with the subject of human sexuality, and whether they're married or single, we need to understand what God says about physical oneness between husband and wife. God bless you as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. One of the challenges that we face in our work with kids is trying to teach them about a heavenly Father who is really wonderful, perfect, perfect love. Because many of these kids don't know what it is to have a father. Many of the kids we deal with have had fathers who made the word father a horrible, frightening word. And so trying to teach them to trust their heavenly Father is very challenging. Well, it's also very challenging to teach kids, many of whom have been sexually abused, about sex. In 2020, God put it on my heart that, I've been teaching through the Scriptures for years, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and we've got in our archives, one of my staff was referring just the other day when we were talking about turning some things into video courses. He said, "Well, I just wonder, I mean, no offense, but I think some people may find it a little jarring to go from different images of you at different ages. It's like, is this young Pastor Wood in this book of the Bible and old Pastor Wood in another one?" And I said, I know exactly what you mean, and I think we ought to use as many as possible of the young Pastor Wood. Okay? So, let people be horrified when they see me in person. So let's get out the tapes of when I was young. Well, in 2020, we're kind of going through and seeing which books of the Bible, I've done Revelation, I've done Genesis numerous times, I've done Exodus numerous times, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, et cetera, et cetera. There was one that I have taught at marriage conferences numerous times, but I'd never taught it to kids. Can you guess what that might be? Song of Solomon. Yeah. All right. Today we're going to talk about, I'm going to climb your legs and grab hold of your breasts. That's in the Bible? Yeah. Read it. Could we just skip over that part? And see, what God put on my heart was, these kids are being bombarded with messages about sex that are lies from the enemy. And the church is reluctant to talk about it except to say, your children, don't do that. So one of the things we have been telling the kids at the ranch since we got our first child, it's in our student handbook. All the kids, along with memorizing Scripture, are required to memorize God's rules regarding sex. Okay? I want you to write down God's rules regarding sex. Rule number one, sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. Okay, rule number two. See rule number one. Got it?
Okay.
All right. Now, as we try and unpack that for kids, the first part is absolutely essential and really, as they begin to process it, kind of shocking for them, as it is for many adults if they begin to process it. And here's that first phrase. Sex is designed by God. Now, if you go back to Genesis and you read what Jesus referenced when he was asked about marriage, it says that God created humans, male and female. In other words, our sexuality was an aspect of God's design. A lot of people seem to have imagined that God put a naked man and a naked woman in a garden together, and then when they started behaving sexually, God was like, oh, I should have seen that coming. God had specifically told them, be fruitful and multiply. Well, you don't do that by shaking hands. So God designed human sexuality as a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's not some nasty thing. It's not a shameful thing. The man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. That's the way it's supposed to be with the man and his wife. There are many things about my wife that I love. When I read the Song of Solomon, I say yes. Okay? I mean, I love her hair. I love her eyes. I love her cheeks. I love her lips. I love the inside of her mouth. Milk and honey are under thy tongue. Not only that, I love the rest of her. But one of the things I love that I can appreciate in public is her eyes. Okay? My wife has beautiful eyes. The iris of her eye is blue with a gold ring of gold flecks around the pupil. Okay? So it's blue and gold, and I refer to her as having green eyes because of that, because blue and yellow make green, right? She says, no, they're blue. And I say, well, the overall effect is green, okay? But I know exactly what they look like. I mean, I have looked into her eyes a lot. And they're very expressive eyes. Susan is not good at hiding her feelings. Not good at all at hiding her feelings. Her eyes are very, very expressive. And if she's angry, you can tell. And if she's repulsed, you can tell. But when she's sending a message of love, whether it's to me or our grandkids, I mean, it's beautiful. She can speak to me with her eyes without using words. And we communicate. And it's wonderful. I love her eyes. If I came home from some ministry trip and walked into the house and there on the stairs going up to the master bedroom, I saw one of her eyeballs lying there on the stair, I would not say, oh my word, it's one of Susan's eyes. This is wonderful. She put an eye there for me. Her eyes are beautiful. In her head. You understand? When her eyes are where they're supposed to be, they work not only to express her feelings, but also to enable her to see. It has a function. It's not just attractive. It's not just beautiful. It's functional. Sex is designed by God for a purpose. If I saw her eyeball on the stair, I would not be pleased. I'd be horrified. I'd be terrified. Where is Susan? What happened? I'd be yelling. Okay? Because outside of its proper setting, it isn't beautiful. It's grotesque. It's terrifying. It's terrible. Awful. This is a disaster. Sex outside of marriage is not where it's supposed to be. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. You take it out of that context, you can still have sex. You can even experience pleasure. By the way, that's one of the things that is very confusing to kids who've been molested. I'm going to digress for a moment, just so you know. The reason why demons are working very hard in our culture right now to advance the transgender movement is because if government will agree with Joe Biden, who said that children should be able to decide for themselves about their gender at age 8, if the government takes that position and hospitals like Children's Hospital in Boston pride themselves on the fact that they are helping children, even elementary age, transition. California schools wanting to help children as early as kindergarten to begin to consider really what their gender is. If America can accept in the public square that children are sexual beings who have a right to decide for themselves what they want to do sexually, all the protections that guard kids from the pedophiles are swept away. It's all gone. That's the agenda. Now, do I think that that's what the transgender people are trying to do? No. I don't think most of them have even processed that. They're all focused on what they're going through. Do I think that the hospitals have understood that that's where this is quickly leading? No. Do I think Joe Biden is pulling the strings behind the evil plot? No. God help us. But I'll tell you, it's not just a cabal of wicked elites who are orchestrating this thing. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It is against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age and against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who the enemy is. And so recognize what's going on. Some people were very alarmed when certain homosexual activists were saying, "We're coming for your children." All they are saying is what the demons that motivate them are saying through them. Because Satan wants to destroy. And we work with some of the victims. Now, how do you teach kids who've been victimized, who are confused about what happened to them, confused about their own feelings, confused about their desires, confused about their thoughts, how do you teach them what's right? Well, folks, the same way that I want to talk with you about what's right. You take them back to the Word of God. You say, where do you think sex came from? Why do you think your body has genitalia? Okay, it wasn't an accident. God didn't say, oh, this evolution thing is just getting out of hand. Okay? God designed us not only to have genitals, but to have genitals that are loaded with nerve endings that send pleasure messages to our brain so that this is enjoyable. God designed us not only to feel something, but to feel pleasure. God made it an enjoyable experience physically as well as emotionally. But it's supposed to be an expression of love. I've had people say before when we're talking about this, so you're saying anything that a couple wants to do, I mean, just whatever it is, I'm just supposed to accept that as okay. It's an expression of love. So if you want to know what that looks like, look at 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, kind. Love is not selfish, doesn't insist on its own way. Okay? So if it's not an expression of love, no, it's not good sex. It is not fulfilling God's design. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on in a lot of bedrooms that is not kind. It is not unselfish. It is somebody insisting on their own way. Jesus, when asked about divorce, we already looked at it, took them back to Genesis. And he said, haven't you read? This is God's design. The two become one flesh. That's God's design.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand, but the waves are calling out my name.
Now, Song of Solomon makes it very clear that the way it's supposed to work is that both the husband and the wife are committed exclusively to one another, which is an interesting thing for Solomon to have written. But, you know, read Song of Solomon, that's where he was. His polygamy was not inspired by God. The record of his polygamy is inspired by God, including the fact that it got him into a mess, including in his relationship with God. But the part that he wrote in Song of Solomon, that was inspired by God. And I have heard and read a bunch of preachers who say, oh no, Song of Solomon is not about sex. Song of Solomon is a beautiful picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. Well, I'll tell you, I don't agree. I'll tell you what I do believe. I believe Song of Solomon is a beautiful book about the relationship between husband and wife. But the relationship between husband and wife is all about a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. Okay? Don't bypass the marriage part. Don't bypass the sex part in order to just go straight to talk about spiritual things. We're supposed to celebrate the physical union that occurs in marriage, because that is a beautiful part of the picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. This marvelous, unselfish celebration of the other person, where the bride is thrilled with the husband and the husband is thrilled with the bride. Do you really think God loves you like that? I mean, what is your idea about his grace? That he's just kind of, okay, I love the whole world. I guess you've got to come too. Okay. You know, I'll let you in. Yeah, okay. No, he really is in love with you. He loves you. God, perfect, holy God, loves you. He loves you so much he sent Jesus to rescue you when you were his enemy. Astounding. Beautiful. Thrilling. Glorious. The bridegroom loves the bride. And the bride loves the bridegroom. Our love is in response to his love. Our love is not the basis of his love. He doesn't love us if you love me back. He loves us, and he even changes our hearts so that we learn to love him more and more and more. So, when we come to the scriptures, we see from Genesis to Revelation this beautiful picture of the oneness between husband and wife. And that needs to be the framework through which we understand what sex is about. Okay? Have you ever counseled couples who, you know, were having difficulty in their sex life? Yeah. Does everybody pretty much have the same problem? Well, in one sense, yes. The problem is not doing things God's way. But let's just say there are lots of ways to go wrong, okay? And instead of focusing on all the ways to go wrong, I'll use one of my wife's favorite illustrations, both of our favorite illustrations, that we heard when we were young. And that is about the ship's captain navigating the Mississippi River. He's going along the river and a passenger comes up and says, "Wow, you've been up and down the river many times, haven't you?" "Yes, I have." "So I guess you know where all the sandbars and snags and everything else are." And he said, "No, that changes all the time. But I know where the channel is. And I just focus on staying in the channel." Folks, we could talk for weeks about all the things that can go wrong, about all the ways you can mess up, about all the baggage you can bring into the relationship and all the hurt that people have. But that's not going to solve our problems. If you want to have a great sex life, find out what God says about how you're supposed to treat each other and focus on that. Most couples, in my experience, are focused on trying to get their needs met. Not just sexually, but it certainly is true in the bedroom as well. Okay? There's this feeling that, you know, I need to do what I need to do in order to get my needs met. Okay? Maybe coercive, maybe manipulative, whatever, but my focus is I want to get my needs met. And I'll do what I have to do in order to get my needs met. If that's your focus, you will sometimes have some good times. But overall, you're not going to have a great sex life. Because you're going at it backwards. If your goal is to make it wonderful for the person you're married to, that's your focus. And your partner's goal is to make it wonderful for you, it's going to be great. Somebody gave an illustration of the difference between heaven and hell. They saw a vision. This is not in the Bible. This is somebody's creative sermon illustration, and I like it. He saw a vision of hell. And in hell, there was a banquet table laden with fabulous foods. But everybody's sitting there with utensils in their hand and sticks tied to their elbows. And so they can't get the food to their mouths. And they're weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth because all this food is there and they can't feed themselves. And he thought, ooh, that's a terrible punishment. And then he was transported to see heaven. And there was a wonderful banquet table laden with food. And everybody had knives or utensils in their hands. And they all had sticks on their elbows. And they were all feeding each other and having a wonderful time. Understand? If your goal is to get for yourself, you're not loving. It's not an expression of love. But if your goal is to serve, to bless, then it gets real good. It gets real good.
Folks, that's all the time we have for today, but we hope you're enjoying this message, and we hope you'll be sure to tune in next time when, Lord willing, we'll bring you the conclusion. You don't want to miss it. Meanwhile, please pray for us and consider making a contribution that will support us in this ministry. For more information and to access ministry resources, we'd love for you to call us at 866-41-ABIDE, or you can visit our website, pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.